stand as you're able this morning to hear the gospel read. In the second chapter of Luke, verses 22 through 38. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. We want to revisit that song again. As you know, we've been going through over these last 4 weeks of Advent the four songs that are there in Luke's gospel in those first two chapters, which we're calling the first carols. And this one is the Canticle of Simeon, which is known in Latin as the Nunc Dimittis, which is the first two words of this song in Latin. Let's say it together now. Lord, every nation shall adore you. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Amen. And let us pray. God, thank you for this beautiful day, an opportunity we have to come and to hear your word afresh. May your spirit be among us, and may it open our hearts and minds to that word in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, we start this morning with a question for you all, and I want you to talk about this for just a moment with the neighbors around you. And the question is this: what's on your bucket list? You know, the bucket list is that list of things you want to do or see or experience before you kick the bucket, right? So what's on your bucket? How many of you have written a bucket list out? A few of you. Yeah, okay, that's good. Some of the rest of you haven't, but you certainly may have something in mind. So what's on your bucket list? Take a minute just to talk about that with somebody near you. What's on your bucket list? It's a very good question. Now, some of you will have 50 things, and some of you will have one thing on your bucket list. All right, so let me hear some of the things that you have on bucket list. What are some things you have? Watch the movie, the bucket list. All right, well, that's a good place to start. It's a good movie, yes.
Watch my grandchildren grow up and be decent people.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yes, Larry.
Parachute out of a plane.
All right. Nice. Yeah. What else? Travel? Any place particular?
I just love traveling. I'd like to go see
Okay, all right. Seeing places you've never seen before. Anything else? Boy, y'all need a little more ambition. This is good stuff. But you know, if you think about it, we all have stuff that's on our bucket list, and we may not want to share it with some people, but it's there. You know, if somebody asks me what's on my bucket list, the first thing on my bucket list is finish my dissertation. That's number one on the list. The second is to write a real book that more than 10 people will read. And then stuff like getting season tickets to the Rockies, you know, things like that. Some people want to go to the Super Bowl. I'd rather watch the Super Bowl on TV so that my behavior can be confined to the basement when the Steelers are playing. So, you know, we have all those kinds of things, stuff we want to do. But as we get older, I think our bucket lists shift to some degree. There are some things that are more important than just things that we want to do or see. And I think all parents would agree, and I think, you know, that Beverly shared it. You know, we all want to see our children, perhaps someday for some of us, our grandchildren, to grow into happy, healthy people who are making a difference in the world. I think that's on every parent's bucket list, right? That would be a blessing beyond measure. But you know, the second thing that comes to my mind, and it's come to my mind in recent years, is something that I can only describe as finishing well. To come to the end of life knowing that you did the absolute best you could to live as the person that God created you to be. To come to the end of life having been faithful to all of your relationships and commitments, to your spouse, your family, to your calling, most importantly, to God. I can't really imagine anything better than that, to have finished well. And this story about Simeon, I think, is a story about finishing well. It speaks to me in that way. It's a description of the kind of person who finishes well. We don't know exactly how old Simeon was, but the text implies that he was probably nearing the end of his life when he saw Jesus that day in the temple. Luke describes him in three ways that I think are good descriptors of what it means to finish well. First, he says that Simeon was righteous and devout, which is a biblical way of describing a person who's dedicated to living rightly and justly according to the law of God, of doing things to the best of their ability according to the law of God. Secondly, it says that Simeon was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Now, that's kind of a code word for saying that Simeon knew the scriptures and the promise of a coming Messiah. He would have known those texts that talked about the coming of Israel's comfort, like Isaiah 40. And sometimes this time of year, you know, people like to listen to Handel's Messiah, right? And there's that wonderful tenor solo in the midst of Handel's Messiah that is of Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. There's that wonderful song of hope in the midst of that. And Simeon would have known those promises from Isaiah about a Savior that was to come. Because Israel is the story that Simeon is steeped in. He lives his life expectantly, confident that God will redeem Israel's past and secure their future. And thirdly, Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit rested on Simeon. His righteousness and hope were not merely products of study and knowledge, but of a deep personal relationship with the Spirit. It was the Spirit who revealed to the old man that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. If there was one thing on Simeon's bucket list, and indeed the bucket list of every devout person in first century Israel, it was to see the Messiah finally come. The irony is that when he did come, most of them missed him because this Messiah didn't meet their expectations. But Simeon, led by the Spirit, saw him because he opened his life to the leading of the Spirit. Simeon was in the temple that day, Luke tells us, because the Spirit had led him there. Luke doesn't give us the sense that Simeon was a priest or part of the temple staff, just an old man seeking what everyone else was passing by without notice. A couple, a poor couple, carrying a little baby who had come to have him circumcised and dedicated, just like so many other couples and babies who were there in the temple every day. Through the crowd, Simeon became focused on this little family, and he knew that his bucket list was complete. Can you imagine that scene? The old man walking up to this family who are no doubt overwhelmed by the sight of this massive temple. Herod had rebuilt the temple, and it was this massive edifice, one of the great wonders of the world at the time. And there they stood in the midst of a teeming crowd, holding on to this precious little child. And a stranger, an old man, comes up and says, "May I hold the baby?" Now, when you're a parent for the first time, that baby is so precious. You don't want to give him to anybody. The second one, you pass around like a loaf of bread. You know, no problem. I could do without him for a little while. You know, they can go do whatever. But that first one is so precious. So you imagine what it took for Mary to hand the baby to the stranger, Simeon. And yet she knows somehow that this man is going to be someone who is excited to see this child. That he knows who he is, that somehow he knows the same kind of song that the angel had said to Mary, that the angels had sung to the shepherds. She knows. And so Simeon looks into this child's eyes like a grandparent looking at his grandson for the first time. And all he can do is all any of us can do at that moment, and that is to feel like singing. "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon sees his past and Israel's hope in the face of this child. He sees the end of his life as another begins. He sees the future. He sees the reconciliation of all people, Jews and Gentiles together. He sees the salvation of the whole world wrapped in this little bundle. Simeon comes to the end of his life rejoicing for a hope that will live beyond him. It's his mark of finishing well. And as he looks at the child, he knows the end has come and it's a good one. Luke also tells us that someone else joined Simeon and the little family at that moment, another faithful senior, a prophet named Anna, who had been a widow for most of her 84 years. Like Simeon, she had been waiting, and the arrival of the baby in the temple was for her a bucket list moment as well. Luke says that she was so devout that she never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer every day and night. Where I come from, we call them church ladies, right? That are always, every time the church is open, they are there. And I remember those faithful ladies from my past who were like Anna. And every time I read this passage, I think of them, who were always there and knew how to bake a casserole instantly. They knew it. And now as she too looked at this baby, she could only praise God and start telling everyone she knew that the one they'd been waiting for had come. So it's this beautiful scene, the rejoicing at the birth of a baby, the realization of hopes and dreams. But in many ways, Luke will tell us this is also a tragic moment, because both Simeon and Anna know from their lifetime of experience that real hope will not come without suffering. Simeon and Anna have both been living in a world of patient hope where suffering becomes a way of life. You think about Anna, who's been a widow for most of her life, and widows were among the most vulnerable people in that population. She no doubt spent most of her life scraping by. And yet here, God reveals how he will deal with suffering, not by ignoring it or sanctioning it or alleviating it, but by sharing it himself. Those who are guided by the scriptures and the spirit know that hope does not come a reality without sacrifice. Like all parents, Mary and Joseph had their own hopes and dreams for the future of this child. But Simeon knows where this story is going to lead, because this baby, this Messiah, will not be what was expected. He will bring conflict. And in the midst of that conflict, he will suffer. He says to Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed." And he says to Mary, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." This child will suffer in order to make hope a reality, and Mary will suffer too. That is, after all, what happens when the kingdom of God confronts the kingdoms of this world. Simeon's bucket list proclamation foreshadows what is to come. Mary, we know, will be frantic. Just one chapter later in Luke, when she can't find her son Jesus, who's 12, when he stays behind in the temple. She will look for her son as he is rejected later by those authorities and religious people, the very people that he came to save. She will think he's gone mad when he confronts the religious establishment. And then, in a scene that's unimaginable to any parent, she will watch him die as a crucified criminal. Simeon tells her, in effect, that while we make bucket lists of things to do before we're going to die, dying was at the top of Jesus' bucket list. The one who will cause the falling and rising of many in Israel will fall victim to evil and death and die on their behalf. But we know, as how the story ends, that he will rise as well. Suffering will turn to joy. This is the witness of Scripture and the work of the Holy Spirit. Simeon understood all this because his bucket list emerged out of a lifelong engagement with Scripture and prayer. Grounded in the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, he was finishing well. And so he was able to see what few others had seen: the real Messiah in the form of a helpless baby, carried by an unmarried couple who had delivered him in a barn. A couple who had lived the kind of life that was on no one's bucket list. This was not the sort of revelation the world was expecting, nor was it the sort of glory that Israel wanted, but it is both. Both true revelation and true glory, nonetheless. And it's a glory which we are called to share. Advent invites us to orient our lives around a very different kind of bucket list. One that emerges out of Scripture and prayer. One that involves a vocation rather than a vacation. Advent reminds us from the beginning that the whole story will finish well, but not without some effort. Each of the people we've looked at in these two chapters of Luke had their lives altered by an encounter with God, to which their response was a song of praise and a new vocation. Remember back to whom we talked about. We started by talking about Mary, who's this young girl, maybe 12 or 13, whose life is altered by an angel visit. In an instant, her life and vocation are changed. She would risk her reputation and her life to bring God's son into the world, to raise him, to care for him, and to watch him leave on the road to the cross. And yet she says yes to it all and sings of what God has done for her and for the whole world. Her life is changed forever. Zechariah is an old priest who is largely going through the motions of prayer and ritual when an angel visits and challenges his doubts and fears, telling him that his prayers have been answered. After a time of silence, the old priest bursts out in a song of praise. He and his wife will shift their vocation to raising their son to be a prophet dedicated to the Lord. Their lives are changed forever. The shepherds are outcasts and outlaws, with nothing going for them whatsoever. And yet an angel visits and tells them that a Savior has been born for them, for those for whom everyone else has forgotten. Their vocation turns from grazing sheep to glorifying God. Their life is changed forever. The old man Simeon and the elderly prophetess Anna had been keeping up their faithful vocation their whole lives, praying that one day they would see God's salvation come, and they did, and so they were able to die in peace, their bucket list complete. The question for us is, what does the news of Christmas and the Messiah's coming do to our vocation, our bucket list? The truth of these stories is that every one of us has a role in what God is doing for the world. This story is our story and our vocation. All the people we've talked about are common, ordinary people who are invited into this powerful story of what God is doing in the world. And that invitation is still extended to us. But it's a story we'll truly only understand and integrate if we, like Simeon, are fully immersed in the Scriptures and we're fully connected in a relationship with God in the power of the Holy Spirit. A bucket list for finishing well then involves a daily practice of connecting to God and listening for his future for us. And if we're listening, we might hear those great places where God is calling us to go and to be. What would happen if we really listened to that? Maybe your bucket list will include sharing the good news of Jesus in the public eye, preaching or meeting the glaring needs of people who were suffering. You know, I never planned to be a pastor. When I was little, I wanted to play shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates, which I could probably still do, given as bad as they are after 19 straight losing seasons. When I got older, I wanted to be a career soldier. One thing that was never on my bucket list was being a pastor. Well, I got called and I was a youth pastor, but that seems strange too. When I was in college as a history major, which is the same as taking a vow of poverty, I was taking classes, and one of my professors said, you know, you really should get that teaching certificate so that you can teach in the school. And I said, Prof, no way. I'm never going to teach teenagers. And then I spent 12 years as a youth pastor. Don't ever tell God your plans. He will laugh. And then when I was a youth pastor, I said, I never want to be a senior pastor. That job's too hard. I never want to do that. And here we are. If we're listening, God gets a hold of us. And yet for me, it was through other people who said, you know, I think God's calling you and you may not be listening. Maybe God's calling you to be that kind of witness, to do something that's completely outside of your bucket list at the moment. But you may be called to give your life in His service. And maybe your bucket list will just include doing things like helping people who are broken with illness or addiction, or holding someone's hand who is suffering or grieving. The point is that no matter what it is, all of us are called to a life of faithfulness. All of us are called to a life of servants to God's kingdom. All of us are called to finish well, to be faithful, according to the word of Scripture, and according to the power of the Holy Spirit. If we do that, if we're faithful, then our lives have an impact for eternity, an impact that lives way beyond us. If we live that vocation, we will leave behind a legacy that will not only bless our children, but will bless the whole world. So many people spend their lives in pursuit of titles and of things and of personal pleasures. And in the end, they want to have it all. But the gospel invites us to include and pursue a very different kind of life. A life a lot like Simeon's. A life of faithful living. A life immersed in God's word. A life that is led by the Spirit. A life that waits expectantly. A life that suffers hopefully. That loves extravagantly. That works diligently. That serves sacrificially. A life that doesn't see death as its end, but a life that is invested beyond our years into the lives of others. Simeon departed in peace because he had lived such a full, expectant, and sanctified life. He finished well. What about us? You know, in the end, that's the kind of life I want to lead. A life that finishes well. And I know that won't happen without some struggle. Nor will it happen without help from others along the way. How about you? How will you finish well? And how will it change your bucket list? Lord God, you have called us to a very different kind of life. A life of expectation. A life of hope. A life that is invested for eternity. Help us to finish well, to invest our lives in your kingdom. In the name of Christ, amen.